And as a sower sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. In this Sunday's gospel parable, a sower went out to sow. Now, either this sower is foolish, or he knows something that we don't know. If you were driving down a paved road, one of the farm-to-market roads here in Texas, and came up behind a farmer driving his tractor, and behind the tractor was one of those drills dropping seeds for miles onto the asphalt, you'd be rather concerned. Doesn't he know that he's wasting his time, his energy, and his money, in addition to ruining the drill? But the sower in Jesus' parable acts in a similar way. And he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Later in the same chapter of Matthew, Jesus explains the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals it away, what was sown in his heart. This is the first of four illustrations that Jesus paints in the parable. Three illustrate the sower laboring in vain because of the consistency of the path, the rocky ground, the thorns. These three images show three things that the Christian, us, should avoid. The first illustrates ignorance. It describes what happens when we lack the understanding that the Word of God reveals. By contrast, to grow spiritually requires the knowledge which the Word of God shines upon two realities. The first one, the nature of God. The second one, the nature of oneself. The nature of God is simple, because God is simple. God is love. This reflection, of course, is meant to be like that of a mirror, not only a reflection upon one whom we adore, but also a reflection upon God as love, because we, as adopted children, are to be like Him. And so we are meant to see ourselves in God's reflection. Self-knowledge is far more complicated than the knowledge of God, because it has two contrasting parts. To be more specific, the fallen nature of man is divided rather than being simple in the way that God created man and woman in the beginning. On the one hand is the knowledge of oneself as a fallen human being, as someone who has stumbled and fallen into the filth and mire of what we call sin. This is in addition to inheriting original sin, which leaves its traces even upon the baptized person. On the other hand, there is the knowledge of oneself as someone truly loved by God. One needs to know and reflect upon oneself as a person whom God has picked up out of that mire of sin, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and raised to the dignity of His own child. These three forms of knowledge, and knowledge of God, knowledge of oneself as fallen, knowledge of oneself as raised by God, are like the three legs of a traditional milking stool on which one sits to milk a cow. without any one of these three, you only have two legs, and one inevitably falls. With all three, one resembles the fourth illustration that Jesus verbally paints in this Sunday's gospel reading, where seed falls on rich soil and bears abundant life. Yet as we seek this spiritual abundance, we must keep in mind two important truths. These two truths are summed up by the first half of the gospel's gospel acclamation. The seed is the word of God, and Christ is the sower. The Christian, in turn, is a heart receptive. A heart receptive, for the Christian is meant to be like good soil. Christ is the one who is active like the sower. But he not only carries the seed of our spiritual growth, but is that very seed. For the same Christ is the Word of God. But that raises a doubt, though. If Christ is the sower, why does he waste seed? That is, why does he waste himself on the path and on rocky ground and amidst the thorns? What does he know that we don't know? What God knows that you and I don't often see is that the path and ground that's strewn with rocks and thorns can be made hospitable to the sower seed. No one is beyond God's redemption. No one is a waste of God's love. No one is without the means to clear and work the ground of his or her life to open himself or herself to the sower's seed. So I want to tell you a story. This time last year, leaders from the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston, the program called St. Maximilian Kolbe Prison Ministry, that team attended a statewide conference in San Antonio. There were lots of high-powered speakers through the course of the weekend, but one of the speakers was not so well known. I've changed his name. We're going to call him today Charles Jones. Jones, a former gang member, explained how he was serving one of the three sentences he'd been given after a crime-ridden youth. And during that sentence, his mother died. He said he struggled with the lack of self-forgiveness and grew deeply bitter about not being able to even attend her funeral. In prison, he couldn't cry because of the virile culture, we might call it in this part of Texas, the macho culture, prevented him from talking to anyone about his struggle with not even being able to see his mother's body one last time. Soon after that, however, God started putting people into his life that were part of the church. He attended a St. Maximilian Kolbe retreat at the prison in Dilley, Texas. Anybody here know where Dilley, Texas is? Yeah, we got one and me. Two, three. I had a friend years ago. His lovely wife was born and raised in Dilley, Texas. That's the only reason I would know where Dilley, Texas is. But there is a prison there. And that was where he was incarcerated. And during that weekend retreat put on by the Catholic Church, he saw a new door open with radiance pouring out from that door. He hungered for more. It was because of his time in prison that he was able to encounter Jesus Christ. He says, I wasn't physically free, but I began to be spiritually free. It took him nearly 8 more years to get out of prison. But he said, it didn't even bother me, because his focus was on God and God's plan for his life. Now, out of prison and living in the greater Houston area, Jones said it took time, but he knew God was already working it out for him simply because he tried to cooperate with God's grace in prison. His conversion to the Catholic faith helped him to leave gang life behind. He said his peers in prison had their doubts about his new Christian life, but as soon as they saw the authenticity behind his efforts, those who questioned him backed off. And some even asked questions, wanting to learn more about his faith and his new church, the Catholic Church. As I said before a moment ago, no one is beyond redemption. No one is a waste of God's love. No one is without the means to clear and work the ground of his or her own life, to open himself or herself to the sower's seed. My friends, we have a loving God. Amen.